Welcome. Express my appreciation for your being here this morning. We have lots of company, so we're very thankful for your attendance also. There is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. You're very welcome. If you didn't receive one, to go get one in the foyer. Just come back in. But we're thankful for your attendance very, very much. The lesson, or at least the title and the thoughts, come from the text that was read to us this morning, 100, where he expresses that our desire is to give thanksgiving to God. I want to be a very thankful people, and I want you to be thankful. I'm going to talk about a little bit after the introduction on how to be thankful. Teach me to be a thankful person. But first of all, just note that, and I've heard always people say, every day is a Thanksgiving day. And that's true. We want to be thankful every day. And we're being taught that. It's biblical. In Colossians 2, verse 7, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. How have you been taught to be thankful? In Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, and be thankful. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continuing in prayer, yeah, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So continually be thankful. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will is for us to be thankful. We're taught many times not only by the message itself, but also by the example of others. And I think in Jesus, many times the Bible records him giving thanks. On one occasion, in Matthew 11, verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And then he begins his prayer. In Matthew 26, in verse 26, at the Lord's Supper, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, took the cup, and gave thanks. Thanks. Jesus is the example. He only told us to be a thankful people. He displayed it. You think about David in the Old Testament in the psalm that was just read to us. Psalm 100, verse 4. David said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. Daniel in the Old Testament, in Daniel 6, verse 10, his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And then the next phrase is, as he did aforetime or before. Daniel, did you pray yesterday? Yeah, I sure did. Going to pray today? Yes, I am. Pray tomorrow? Oh, yeah, that's what I always do. Daniel taught by example. The Apostle Paul, in Acts 27, verse 35, when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When Paul writes to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So when we think about one another, think about thanking God for them. I thank God when I remember you. Thank you. So I wanted to, in the rest of the lesson, how can I develop that attitude of gratitude? Teach me. Teach me how to be gracious and thankful. So I've just listed some things in your notes. Number one, just remember to never forget. Just remember. Don't forget to be thankful. It's in our verse, in Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I want to remember, not to forget, to be thankful. Put it in my memory bank. Thank you. When the Old Testament story of Joseph, when he's in Egypt and he was in prison, along with a butler. And in Genesis chapter 40, verse 14, Joseph befriended the butler, and so he's anticipating the butler's release from prison. So in Genesis 40, verse 14, Joseph said, Mr. Butler, think on me when it shall be well with you. All right, so he's anticipating that butler's going to get out of prison. So, butler, think about me when it's everything's good, when it's well with you. And show kindness, I pray you, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this prison. Ah, butler, don't remember not to forget. Tell Pharaoh about me. Well, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Ah. I want to remember, not to forget. And by the way, it's never too late to say thank you. Even if the weeks or the months or the years have gone by, if you remember a kindness that someone did for you, you think, did I say thank you? It's okay. Say it again. They'll just think, in fact, they probably remember you didn't say thank you. But even if it's a month or years later, say thank you. Oh, and they'll say, oh, they still remembered a kindness or something gracious I did for them. And they're saying thank you. If you said it before, say it again. Thank you. Thank you. Second, don't major on your troubles. But count your blessings instead of your bruises. Everybody has bruises in their life. Don't major on your blights. Major on your blessings. Count your blessings, not your bruises. There's a lady that's written many songs, and several of them are in our hymnal. Her name is Fanny, middle initial J. Crosby. Because she didn't major on her troubles, she was blind, but she could still write. It's hymn number 508 in our songbook. The title of the song is A Wonderful Savior. Wait a minute. This is Crosby, you're blind. A wonderful Savior. And what did she say in the song? One phrase, with numberless blessings, each moment he crowns. Numberless blessings? Mrs. Crosby, you're blind. Oh, but he's a wonderful Savior. Each moment he crowns. Even we can be grateful for troubles in our life, or even some inconveniences. I remember the story of a little boy who was thankful for his glasses. It's in elementary school. I said, why are you thankful for your glasses? He says, because they keep the other boys from fighting me and the girls from kissing me. Thankful for my glasses. There's a man named Matthew Henry, and he wrote in his diary after his house was robbed. Oh, Matthew Henry, your house was robbed. Yeah. So he said, let me be thankful first that because he never robbed me before. Okay. And then second, let me be thankful because although he took my purse, he didn't take my life. And then Matthew Henry said, third, because although he took all I possessed, he didn't take much. And then last, Matthew Henry said, after he was robbed, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. thankful, even for inconveniences, for some difficulties in life. There's a time to be thankful. Number three, another attitude for gratitude. Count the blessings that you do have. Count the blessings. Don't concentrate on what you don't have. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, having food and raiment, let's therewith be content. Food and raiment, that's it. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, he told the soldiers, be content with such things as you have. The message is, don't let your discontent cause you to break the law. Just because you don't have something, don't allow that discontent for you to become criminal. No. We always want to better ourselves. We want to provide for our families. We want to advance in our careers, yes. But don't let your discontent cause you to be a lawbreaker. Be content with what you have, and don't concentrate on what you don't have. Remember a story, too, of a mother and a father. They gave a sizable gift to the church in memory of their son who was killed in World War II. And when the gift was announced to the congregation, a mother in the audience whispered to her husband, she said, let's give a similar amount for our boy. My husband said, but our boy didn't lose his life in the war. Whereupon the mother said, that's the point. Let's give it as an expression of gratitude for sparing his life. See, the mother had not lost sight of the fact of what she had. So that's the point here in learning an attitude of gratitude. Count the blessings you do have rather than concentrating on what you don't have. And we even sing that song. Probably already ahead of me in thinking about that. Count your blessings. Name them. Oh, yes. Sometimes say, oh, I'm blessed. Well, name them one by one. And the next phrase is, and you'll be surprised at what the Lord has done. Oh, that's right. I have so many blessings. Count them. Name them one by one. Try counting spiritual blessings. Oh, that's right. God's grace. Thank you. Oh, I have exceeding precious promises. Thank you. I have sustaining hope. Thank you, God. Oh, I have so many spiritual blessings. Thank you. Count your physical blessings. I have family, friends, food, health, shelter. Just start counting your blessings. Make that a habit. And we'll see that we're blessed. And many times beyond measure. How am I going to develop an attitude of gratitude? By counting the blessings I have and not concentrate on what I don't have. Next one is consider how gratitude really is. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, right in the middle of a verse, there's a phrase, just unthankful. And Paul is listing a category of horrible things that people do and commit. And we look at that list of things, we say, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't even associate with people that do that. But right in the middle is people that are unthankful. That's it. That's horrible? Yeah. Same thing in 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul said, know this also, that in the last days, or these days, perilous times shall come. Ooh, perilous times. What do perilous times look like? And again, there's a catalog of sins, of wretchedness, horrible things. And right in the middle, men shall be unthankful. Well, I wouldn't do that wretched thing, but will we be unthankful? And then it says, from such turn away. I would turn away from a lot of those people that do those things, but an unthankful person? Oh, puts it in a detestable light. I don't want to be unthankful. I want to develop an attitude of gratitude. The next one, just practice expressing your gratitude. In other words, say it. We're instructed to give thanks, not just feel thankful or think thanks. It's give thanks. Thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always. And don't we as parents constantly remind our children, as soon as they receive something, if they're not quick to say thank you, what do you say? Because we want to instruct our children to be thankful, to have an attitude of gratitude, to be a thankful people. What do you say? But not only just say it, but I want you to demonstrate it. I want you to live a life of thanksgiving. David asked in Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What can I give back to God for all of his blessings in my life? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I can say it. But our response to God needs to be more than just that lip service. I don't want to just pull out my wallet and say, here, God, here's $10. That should cover it. No, I want to say thanks, but I want to demonstrate a life of thanks. What can I render to the Lord for all his benefits? I want to be thankful. In word and in deed. And then also, don't take the commonplace and things for granted. Sometimes we're thankless because we're thoughtless. You know, and those words, think and thank, come from the same root word. So when I think about something, I want to be thankful for it. Well, I think, oh, I have this. Well, thank you. And in our thinking, it's easy sometimes to overlook everyday items and become unthankful because we didn't really count our blessings. And we didn't name them one by one. Oh, I want to thank God for the physical things in life that we enjoy, and I want to count them for the spiritual things in life. Count them and name them. I want to learn to be thankful. Avoid overemphasizing the luxuries of life. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 15, a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. I want to possess things. We labor so we can have. We have to provide for our own. That's Bible. But I want to be thankful. Put the emphasis on spiritual things. I saw a story where it says an aged Christian man was called upon by the tax collector to determine the amount of taxes that he should be paid. When the tax man asked him what property he had, the aged Christian stated, well, I'm a very wealthy person. Whereupon the tax collector gets happy. He asked, well, list your possessions. And the aged man said, well, I have remission of sins. I have a mansion being prepared for me. I have peace that passes understanding. I have joy unspeakable. I have love divine that never fails. I have a crown of life. I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who supplies all my needs. The text, you can see the tax man going, no. I also listed in your notes, do away with murmuring and complaining. We read about and we hear about the murmuring of the Old Testament Israelites. And the warning is given in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. Don't murmur. Don't murmur. As some of them also murmured and were destroyed. Destroyed for murmuring? Don't murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed. And then Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Murmur? I'm just kind of kind of getting it off my chest. Now, don't murmur, dispute. But last one, realize you're a recipient. Don't forget the giver. Don't forget the giver who's given us all things. Not only do I have life and health and family and talents and opportunity, and I have opportunity for salvation. Paul said in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So I don't want to forget to thank God. Give thanks to Him for what He's given to me, salvation. If you're not a Christian, you have opportunity to thank God for that opportunity to become a Christian. I suppose in closing, I should say, you know, we need to pray, our Heavenly Father, you've given me so much, please give me one more thing, a grateful heart. I want a grateful heart. I want to develop an attitude of gratitude. So if you're not a Christian, you need to thank God for the salvation that He's brought to everybody. When Jesus' last words before He ascended back to the Father, in Matthew 28, the closing verses, He told His disciples, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations. How are they going to make disciples? He answered, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. After Jesus ascended back to the Father, 10 days later, the disciples are in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. And there's devout Jews from every nation that are gathered there. And Peter stands up with the 11 and preaches unto these devout Jews, these religious people. And he's told them in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, that they've, by wicked hands, they've crucified and slain the Son of God. In verse 36, he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart in verse 38. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter, with the others, stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Then those that gladly received his word in verse 41 were baptized. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Those back in verse 41. Those who gladly received his word and were baptized. And that's the invitation we extend every time we meet. Once the lesson is presented, you have an opportunity to be grateful for the salvation that God has offered through Jesus' Son. Just repent and be baptized for remission of sins, to receive the gift of God's Spirit, because to you is the promise. That's the promise. The promise of God of forgiveness. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. So let's stand together. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, become a Christian by being baptized, have that opportunity. You simply need to let your request be known at the close of this song.